Couple things this morning before we get started. Just want to remind you that Bob and Jane Souza this week, I believe it's this Wednesday, will be heading out, going on a Holy Land trip, and they'll be over in Israel and other parts. And we mentioned to you last week that if you would like, we have prayer request cards. If you would like to list a prayer request, and I've received several already. Bob had come to me about prayer, and we believe in prayer. And, you know, one of the things, I'm very excited about this, it reminds me of an account in Scripture where the Apostle Paul would travel to places and lift up requests and pray with believers and pray for believers. And so they're going to be leaving this coming Wednesday, and Bob's going to take a bunch of our prayer requests with him. And when he's there at Calvary, when he's there in Israel, when he has opportunity there, being in that place, just take some time and pray. Now, I know you can pray here. I know you can pray at home. But there's just some symbolic to it, too, that I just love it, where he's going to be taking our prayer requests and praying right there in that spot where Jesus was, where Jesus walked. And so if you would like, maybe some of you filled one out last week. You already gave it to me. That's wonderful. Some of you filled or took one home, said you would give it to me today. That's wonderful. If you would like to have a card and put a prayer request on it, I'm going to be at the back door at the conclusion of the service, or the main door, and I will get your prayer requests from you. You can give them to me, and I'll make sure that Bob gets them. So, Guy, can you help out with this and give some of these? Judd, can you come out here and give? Maybe just pass them down the aisles to folks, whoever would like to have a card, and we're going to move right along with this. Also, I want to remind you about some things. We have some prayer requests I want you to keep in prayer for. Jane Soares, we've been praying for Jane. There's a diagnosis of breast cancer. She went, had testing done, and found out that it's benign. Amen? So we praise the Lord for that. Also, Dolores Cadere, remember Dolores went into the hospital. This is Nancy Petit's mom. She went in the hospital, had surgery Friday. And so continue to be in prayer for her. There's some cancer issues going on. There's going to be further treatment for her. She had this surgery, this tumor taken care of. Also, her sister, Margaret DeLamata. Dolores is in Women and Infants, and her sister that she lives with, Margaret DeLamata, she has a urinary tract infection. She's in Charlton. So these sisters are playing musical hospitals. And we want to be in prayer for both these ladies. Meredith Matthew, we praise the Lord for that. Meredith got some test results back. They're going to be doing some more testing concerning her thyroid. And we praise the Lord, some inconclusive stuff. And just telling you, you don't have to look like me. All right? She didn't have to pull all her hair out. But continue to be in prayer for Meredith. She can be going for biopsy again. And just with this thyroid issue, she'll pray for her. Nancy Rigo, who is home, praise the Lord. Nancy's been through this almost 4-year ordeal. She's been out of her home for a year with going through her knee situation and amputation, now learning how to walk on that one leg, get around, you know, but she's done all the therapy. She's home. So we praise the Lord for that, but she continues to need your prayer. And then also for some of you, a fellow we had in our church some years back, his name is Raymond Doobie. Ray had a knee replacement surgery. Ray had his first knee replacement done 30 years ago. I'm not even sure if I'm that old yet. But he had it done 30 years ago, and it developed an infection. They had to take it out. Now they put in an antibiotic spacer. So he has no knee. His leg is braced. Want to be in prayer for him, okay? And he doesn't like pain. Doesn't like pain, all right? Anybody here, you like pain? And so I told him, he's in good company. None of us like pain. I do not wake up in the morning and pray, Lord, give me pain. I don't need that. Neither do you. Let's pray for these folks. Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity we have to sing this morning, our time of communion, where we can evaluate our own lives, Lord, our walk with you, and take a look within our own hearts. Father, we ask you for forgiveness when we sin. We ask you for encouragement to help us to continue to walk that straight, narrow path that you have us on for our life. Father, we think of these who are in the hospital right now, Lord. Some have had surgery, some have had testing. Lord, we praise you for the wonderful works of God that we see going on in several of their lives. We thank you for healings. Now we ask and pray, Father, you continue to minister to these who are still going through tests, still in the hospital. God, that you would encourage their faith as they look up to thee. Bless them. May we be faithful in our prayers to them, our cards, our visits, our encouragement in words of inspiration. Bless our service now, Father, as we look into Matthew chapter 8, a simple passage with a simple message, but may the simplicity of the message not escape our mind, heart, and spirit this morning. Might we be willing to give ourselves completely and totally over to Thee. I pray that if there be one here this morning that has never professed Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, they do not have a personal relationship with the living God, that You would save them today, sin forgiven, heaven their home, and part of the family of God. I pray for each of us as children of God, Christians, that we would seek to be the faithful servants You've called us to be, faithful, obedient, loyal, committed, knowing that we believe You're soon coming again. Use us this day. Fill each of us with Holy Spirit power. May You fill this vessel speaking this word this morning in Jesus' name. For His sake we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8 in your Bible. I'm sure it's an account that you've read before. I know it's an account that you've studied. Verse 1, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. That's the Lord Jesus. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Look at our text this morning. This is really, really where we want to springboard in the scripture this morning. It's in verse number 2. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I know you've read this passage, I'm sure, several times. It's the first of the Gospels, Gospel of Matthew. We have Mark, Luke, and John. We often begin, when we lead somebody to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ or to encourage a young convert, we have them begin in the Gospel of John. Great instruction, great teaching for us. But then from John, we have them go to the first Gospel. That is the Gospel of Matthew. And I know you've read this passage, and I'm sure you've studied it many times and sought to glean the truth out of this passage, what God would have for you. And I believe that if we would read the Word of God in a manner so as to feed our soul, we must let it speak to us personally. In other words, when we look at the passage like this passage this morning, we sit in our pew, I stand behind this pulpit, and we ask the question, what is it saying to me? How does this truth apply to me? Now, I believe that there is a message for all of us in every book of the Bible. Amen? I believe there's a message in every book. I believe there's a message in every chapter. I believe there's a message in every verse. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is saying. And I pray this morning that when you came into this building, you came into this building prayed up and looking with eyes to see and hearing with ears to hear what God might say to you in a personal way. I believe we can learn much about prayer as we read the Bible. I believe we can learn much about forgiveness as we look into God's Word, much about joy and the communication of our faith by taking notice of some things. We've read this passage many times. We've looked at it. It's very simplistic, but I'm not sure if you've ever honed in on some of the wonderful truths that we find in these verses that we read. Some of the things that we can take notice of by looking at the very prayers that Jesus answered in an affirmative way. We see Jesus time and again coming upon a great company of people listening to prayer. The individual coming to Jesus with a prayer. The various needs that we find in the lives of these believers, really no different than the lives that I'm looking at today. Really no different than the needs that we have today. But we can learn a lot, much about prayer and forgiveness and joy and how to communicate such to one another by actually looking at, reading, taking in the prayers of Jesus in the answers he makes in the affirmative, as well as the answers that when he gives a no. Or he states, let's wait. Now, I believe the prayer of the leper here is no exception. And I believe that at the end of this, there's a great truth. There's a package we want to present to you. There's a meal we want to present to you. And then at the end, we want to put the bow on the package. We want to put the garnish on the meal and say, here it is. What is God saying to me? What is God saying to you? First of all, I'd like to notice with you what I call the leper's condition. Now, the leper was intensely conscious of his leprosy and overwhelmed by his uncleanness. If you know anything about lepers, if you've ever read or studied anything about lepers, oftentimes they were a people, they were a group that were shunned, left off by themselves. They were a group that as they became more and more deformed and more calloused and more sores on their body would wrap themselves and cover themselves to cover the embarrassment of their uncleanness, to cover the embarrassments of their deformities. Nobody wanted to be around a leper. In fact, there were protectionisms in place that lepers could not be around anybody else who was normal and healthy in that means. During the days in which Jesus walked the earth, there was a stigma attached to those who had leprosy. They were considered not only just deformed and unclean, but they were also ceremonially unclean, which meant they were not permitted to enter the temple area. If there were a leper today and we were meeting here for worship and they wanted to come in, they would not be allowed in this sanctuary area to worship with this host of believers because they would be known as ceremonially unclean. They were quarantined from normal associations with the healthy. In the ancient world, leprosy was the most terrible of all diseases. It was the terminal cancer. It was the AIDS diagnosis of our day. There was no hope for them. Now, I want to say to you that I believe the physical effects of leprosy and the spiritual effects of sin have some noteworthy parallels, and I'd like to point those out to you. And this is where we begin to draw our application upon ourselves. First of all, when this leper's condition, we see that sin on the moral plane, like leprosy on the physical plane, is the most awful thing that ever afflicted humanity. What I'm saying is no pen, no photograph, no painting, no writing could portray the horror of leprosy or its devastation. We think about sin on the moral plane, the most awful thing that's ever afflicted humanity. No pen can really put into words for you and me today the affliction of sin upon people in the world. No painting could be mastered. No picture can be taken that we would look and say, oh yes, sin and the horrificness of it. Sin, like leprosy, is the most polluting. It's the most deforming and unclean thing in the universe. Not only is sin the most deforming and polluting thing in this world, but you know, I was reading something recently and it really piqued my curiosity. I say sin is the most polluting and deforming thing in the, not only the world, but the entire universe. Do you know every time, and I didn't realize this, maybe you did, but I read an article about our space shuttles that go up and our space launches that have gone up over the years since the early 60s. In fact, I think there was another nation, maybe in the late 50s even, put up a first flight. But you know what? When they go up there now and they check out and they see the universe and everything, it was amazing to me to learn of the amount of what they call space junk that's floating around, orbiting around out in the universe. A satellite no longer is functional. Cut it off. Let it go. A Hubble that goes billions and billions of miles recording photographs and pictures. Something happens. Let it go. And I looked at that and I said, not only have we corrupted, not only does sin corrupt and through sin man corrupt the world in which he lives, but even going out now into the universe, we're sending our space junk. Sin, like leprosy, is deceitful in its dealings. Only time reveals the terrible effects of sin as it's permitted to have its way in a person's life. But time will reveal it, because that's how sin works. Sin, like leprosy, is in a sense contagious. We say that because by continuous contact with those of evil and degrading habits, we expose ourselves to the risk of being yielding to temptation, the temptation of sin, every single day. In fact, the Bible says that evil communications corrupts good manners. It's important that we watch what we see, what we hear, what we say, what we do, what we allow our hands to handle, where we allow our feet to take us. Because the Bible teaches us that sin, like a leprosy, is in a sense contagious through the wrong associations and degrading of habits. And while leprosy was practically incurable by human skill, only God can deal adequately with the problem of sin. Amen? I'm so glad that God has dealt with my sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so glad that Jesus went to the cross to pay for my sin's debt. I'm so glad that without the shedding of blood, as the Bible says in Hebrews, without that shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Never take the cross of Christ for granted. Never take your salvation or your walk for granted. And always be grateful that only God can deal with the problem of sin. Never ceases to amaze me that even as believers, we come to God and we say, God, I need Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven and heaven my home. Thank you for making a way for this to be possible. And then once we're saved and we're walking a walk of faith, that when the little sins, big sin, and all kinds of sin attacks our life, we think we can handle it. The fact of the matter is you can't. Amen? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Guess what? Sin doesn't leave you alone until you get to heaven, beloved. It dogs you every day. It's out in front. And the parallel, sin, like leprosy, is in a sense contagious. Sin, like leprosy, separates one from that which is clean. As sinners, we're unfit for heaven until we're purified through that precious blood of the Lamb of God and made clean. As leprosy separated people from people, sin separates people from friends. Sin separates people from family. And worst of all, the most awful of it all, sin separates people from God. Be careful of this thing. Sin. It's like a leprosy. the leper's condition, we see the leper's prayer. And you know, what do you draw out of Matthew chapter 8 when you read this very simple passage pertaining to the leper? Notice again in verse 2, his prayer. "And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." There are three things that I see in this that helps my prayer life, and it's my prayer that will help yours. And it's in relation to this leper. Three things we notice. First of all, he came to Jesus with reverence. Bible says that he worshipped him, saying, Lord. He came to Jesus with reverence. Now, I understand, and so do you. I spoke with somebody recently, and they said to me, I don't know how to pray. How do you pray? And without trying to put too much of it on man's level, I simply said prayer is talking with God. We talk with him. We communicate with him. Like reading his word, God communicates with us in prayer. We talk with him. But I have to remind myself and remind others that let's remember that when we approach the throne of God, there is still the need for reverence. Amen? It's not coming into the throne room and issuing, hey God, what up? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking, there's still a need for you and I as believers to recognize who God is in all his holiness. And yet we come to him with reverence. Number two that I see with the prayer of this leper is he came to Jesus not only with reverence, but look at this, he came to Jesus with confidence. Where do you get this from, preacher? Well, you know, it was a dangerous thing for a leper to approach a rabbi. Remember, the leper's unclean, ceremonially even so. Often stones were thrown at lepers as they came too close. People pick up stones and throw them at their bodies, at their head, on their person. Get back. You're too close. Get away. The worst of humanity, afflicting the worst of humanity. The compassion of Jesus had been demonstrated in a manner that encouraged the leper to have confidence in his tenderness as the leper makes his prayer. The third thing I see in this prayer is the leper not only came to Jesus with reverence and confidence, but he also came to Jesus with humility. Humility. That is, he made no demands on Jesus. Jesus, do you know who I am? Look at me. Heal me now. Jesus hanging on a cross between two malefactors. If you be the Son of God, get yourself down and remember us. There was no demand made here. It's not when we make our prayer to God. God, you better listen to me. I'm going to stand about 10 feet from you when you pray that prayer. Amen? There's no demand here. The leper comes in humility. He makes no demands. He issues no orders. He gave no instructions. He did not question the power of Jesus. His only concern was the willingness of Jesus when he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What is this? He places himself at the mercy of the Savior. He desires to be clean. We can learn a lot from this leper's prayer. So we see the leper's condition. We see his prayer. Notice the Savior's reaction. It's also threefold. Isn't that interesting? The Savior, first of all, has compassion. You say, where does that come from? Mark's gospel, the parallel passage in Mark chapter 1, verse 41, says that when Jesus looked upon the leper, he was moved with compassion. What does that mean? His heart suffered with the leper. Compassion is coming up alongside of, feeling the pain of. Doesn't the Bible tell us that as a believer? We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Ecclesiastes said, there is a time to be happy, there is a time for joy, but there also is a time for sadness, there is a time for weeping. I'm grateful for the people that God has brought into my life over the years that came alongside me with compassion. The Savior's reaction is one of tenderness. Notice the compassion of Jesus caused him to do something that probably overwhelmed the soul of the leper. In tenderness, Jesus stretches forth his hand and touches him. You say, what's so big about that? I touch people every day. People touch hands. People touch me every day. They shake my hands. They gave me an embrace. You are not a leper. You are not one who was cast aside into their own little colony and left alone to die. Lepers could not go up to anybody, hence they were stoned. Lepers couldn't touch anyone. Lepers had difficulty touching one another because of the pain. The only thing I can equate that with, we live coastal. You go to the beach, you go to the ocean, you go fishing. And occasionally you forget your sunscreen or your beach hat. And you go out and you have a wonderful time. You ever notice when you're near the water and that sun's baking, you look at your skin and say, man, I'm not getting tan at all. You look white. On the boat, look white. You get back in and you go into a restaurant after your activities at the beach or on the boat, and you notice, man, why in the world is everybody staring at me? They're staring at you because you're the color of a songbook. You're the color of the hymnal all the way through. You take off your glasses, you look like an inverted raccoon. And you just love it when somebody sees you in your burned state and you're trying to comfort yourself and they pat you on the shoulder. How are you doing? Ah, ah, ah. Is a commercial on TV. For those of you who watch TV, where a fella comes back from his event and his wife says to him, how was your day? Fine. You do okay? Yeah. You cover your... Yeah. And he's standing there in his shorts and short sleeve shirt, and he's torched. And his son runs up to him and says, hi, Dad, and jumps up into his arms, and he goes, oh, and he falls back. And he's burned to a crisp. You have that burn, you don't want... You know what? Leprosy, it hurt to be touched. It's like us having a severe sunburn. But Jesus did something. The fact of the matter is, Jesus always does something. And out of compassion and tenderness, he stretches forth his hand and he touches him. And never before or since has the touch of the hand spoken so tenderly and at the same time with so much strength. It had been a long time since this leper had felt the touch of another's hand. In fact, scientific studies have proven people do better. People who are hurting, people who are ailing, when you can give them a touch of comfort, a touch of tenderness, the touch of compassion, they long for the embrace. God made us that way. And Jesus reaches out to one who had not in a long time felt the touch of another's hand. The Savior's reaction was one of compassion, one of tenderness, is one of cleansing. Jesus put forth, in verse number 3, put forth his hand, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And with a word, the sovereign Lord of the universe, of heaven and earth, and all that there is therein, cleansed the leper of his terrible disease. You just imagine that. That brings me to my next point of the leper being cleansed. His cure, instantaneous and complete. Instantaneous and complete. Not the result of human might, but of divine power. God working, God healing, God manifesting himself. And what a marvelous change that was accomplished. Instead of being diseased, he's healthy. Can you just imagine at Jesus saying, I will be clean. Can you just imagine all of a sudden he gets this strength, this power in these crippled hands,
and begins to straighten out and begins unwrapping and holds his hands up and looks and begins to take off the wrappings of his face, and his face is made whole, and he begins to take off the shroud of wrapping with all the stench and all the stink and all the smell and all the putricity that had been all over him for who knows how long, and he takes it all off, and he looks at his feet, and he's whole, and his legs, and they're whole, and his chest, and he's whole, and his arms, and his hands. Can you even imagine that? I would suggest to you, in place of the repulsiveness, this leper's flesh became as clean as a newborn's. Because when Jesus heals, he does it all the way. When Jesus cleans, you're clean. And this man was cleansed beyond clean. Instead of being an outcast from society, he's restored to his community. He's restored to his friends. He's restored to his family. Restoration. What a good term, amen? It's like that picture of the broken bone being set so it can be healed and healed completely. Reconciliation. The leper's reaction to this, it's interesting how Jesus forbade a public proclamation of the leper's cleansing until after he'd been declared cured through the proper channels and protocol which has been prescribed for such in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. And I said to you at the onset, every book of the Bible speaks to our heart. Every chapter has a message. Every verse has a message. Every book has a message. And I don't know how often you make your way over to the Old Testament book of Leviticus, but in Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14, we see these channels and this protocol that Jesus is referring to by going and showing himself to the priest, this one who was cleansed, offering the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And you know what's interesting when you look at that? The Bible says in Leviticus 13, talks about how there were two birds. One was killed, one was set free. This was the gift of this one who had been healed of their leprosy. In chapter 14, you find that there's two lambs that are slain. And it's very interesting as they talk in chapter 14, what the priest would do is he would take some of the blood from the tip of his finger from the lamb being slain, and he would take that blood and he would put some on the right ear of the leper that was cleansed. And putting it on the right ear of the leper that was cleansed symbolized, encouraged him to hear God's voice. You have been cleansed. You have been made whole. The blood on the ear symbolizing, hear God's voice. He would then take some blood and put some of that blood on the right thumb of the one who was cleansed. And putting that blood on the right thumb that was cleansed symbolized perform. It was a message to the one who was healed to perform works of righteousness with his hands. And then the priest would take some blood and he would put it on his right, what they referred to as the right great toe, which we might call our big toe. He would take some blood and put it on the toe, and that was a message to the one that was healed that they were to walk in God's ways. It's very interesting. Even the message from Leviticus, there's something there for you and me that even brings it right home to what we've been teaching, looking at here in Matthew chapter 8 for this leper and from him to us. Through the blood of Jesus, we have been commanded to hear the voice of God. Through the blood of Jesus, we have been commanded to perform works of righteousness. Through the blood of Jesus, we have been commanded to walk in God's ways. Do you see that? What a wonderful experience it went on. Words can hardly put it out. What a wonderful experience that this leper enjoyed when he came to Jesus Christ cleansed. In fact, the cleansed leper was unable to contain himself. To be clean after being unclean for so long, what a privilege, so indescribably wonderful. He could not keep it a secret from the depths of his being. There was like this joy, like an eruption of joy that came, the expression of joy that could not be repressed. And you know what's ironic about this? When Jesus healed him, in the passage, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Mark chapter 1, verse 45, in fact, Jesus said, don't tell anybody. This fellow was so excited about what had happened, he began, Mark chapter 1 says, he began, to, verse 45, he began to proclaim, he began to blaze, I think the scripture said, blaze it out to everybody. He couldn't contain it. Now the thought here, why would Jesus say, don't tell anybody? Well, Jesus was trying to get into towns and communities and the hamlets and the villages. But when somebody was healed, they'd go telling, and people were just flocking into these places. So that made Jesus go out to the valleys and to the meadows and to the mountain places. And instead of Jesus coming into the cities and towns for these people were flocking out of these places to see him. But I find an irony here, even in this message, in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus told this one who was healed of his leprosy, don't tell. And he told. The irony I find is that the Word of God tells us we have experienced so much more than a physical cleansing. We have undergone a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual change, amen? And Jesus tells us in the Word of God, as we've received this spiritual change, go tell. And how many of us do that today? How many of us tell the wonderful workings of God in our life? Oh, what a message that we have there. Let's wrap it up by saying this. How does this word apply to us today? The answer to prayer, the joy of forgiveness, the continuous consciousness of being made clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. How does this apply to us? Well, I believe the truth of Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 should motivate all of us to be joyful communicators. Joyful communicators of what? How about joyful communicators of everything Jesus has done for you? How about a joyful communicator of everything Jesus has done in your family? Everything Jesus has done in the past, everything Jesus is doing in the present, and everything Jesus wants to do in the future. As I look at Matthew chapter 8 and I see this leper cleansed beyond clean, and that was the physical. And he's out saying, look what was done for me. We got the spiritual. We're saved. Sins are forgiven. We're not bound for hell. We're bound for heaven and glory. And God has done something in our life, and he continues to do something in our life. And what are we doing in return? What are you doing in return? I spoke with my son Cody last night. They got back last night from Brazil. He was with a group of about 23 students. And he said, Dad, I got to tell you something. He said, I couldn't believe how these people, where we were so happy, so joyful in the things of the Lord when they have nothing. And he said, you know what? Where I grew up, we have everything. And we can be the most unhappy people. What about the joy of living for Jesus? What about the joy of everything he's done for you and is doing? Where's the praise? We, like this healed individual, should be blazing it through our families. We should be blazing it through our communities. My wife, I was moved. I guess that's the best word. Because she has the soul spa tomorrow. Ladies, right? And I think she told me at a Weight Watchers group she goes to. She gave invitation. Come to Soul Spa. It'll rejuvenate you. Invitation. She'd been going to the dentist because she had some dental corrections that need to be taken care of. She said to me, well, I did it. I said, what you did? She said, I took things and gave them to all the ladies at the dentist's office. Come to Soul Spa. Be rejuvenated. Going out the other day, I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to walk down through the neighborhood. What are you doing? I'm going to go to the ladies in our neighborhood. Come to Soul Spa. Be rejuvenated. I said, thank you, Lord. You know what it reminded me of? This leper. Come see, look at me. You got to see this one. Look at what he did. Be rejuvenated. Is that what we do? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what God commands us to do? You say, man, people would think I'm a Fruit Loop. So what? You got good taste, amen? Jesus is Lord. Cleansed beyond clean. That's what we were. That's what we are. May God help us to be faithful, demonstrating that to all. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for this time that we can come today. Father, it's my prayer. It is my heartfelt, sincere prayer that you would help all of us, younger and older alike, to come to the realization, hard and fast, how much you love us. And how much we're to take that love and share it with others.